Hi, this is Graham Roberts, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mickey Hazard, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast.
I'm a shouty man, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast. Okay?
We're gonna do it like we did last year. Tottenham, Tottenham, no one can stop them. We're gonna do it like we did last year. Tottenham, Tottenham, no one can stop them.
Yeah, welcome to a brand new Hotspurs podcast. It is Tuesday, the 14th of May. May 2013. How about that? We've got Colin in Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Cole?
Yeah, not bad. Slightly disappointed at the minute with the Arsenal-Wigan result, but I'm not going to let it get me down. We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
Yeah, well, where should we start? Should we start with Chelsea?
Yeah, we get Chelsea games. Say we haven't done a show since we played Chelsea, and it was one of those nerve-wracking games as usual. But didn't know what to expect.
Yeah, before you go into it, don't worry about that Wigan Arsenal game. We knew. I mean, you'd have to be a fool to think that Wigan were going to get a result there. Arsenal are far superior to Wigan. Plus, Wigan have just played the cup final, and they won the cup final. You're telling me they didn't have a couple of beers, some of those young guys? don't be so ridiculous. Of course they did, and of course they were going to lose to Arsenal. I mean, you know, that's just the way it goes. So don't worry about that. I said it on last week's show. My predictions are becoming unbelievably accurate. Anyway. Back to Chelsea, right? Let's get into it then.
I just say I agree. Look, I think I might have said it last week. I always believed it was going to come down to Newcastle if we got the result at Stoke, which we'll get into. And that's the way it is. But
That's the way it should be. Football is about enjoying it and coming down to last minute games as it was last year. And history. Never shows the fine details, but as I was listening to on the telly there, the fact is that, what did they do, West Brom? Didn't they rest their first choice goalie and they put a second rate in and he made a load of mistakes? Well, I'd even forgotten that. These things are forgotten, but, maybe we'll get a little bit of luck this year, but look, we've relied on teams for several years to do us a favour. It was quite painful watching Wigan tonight, but you know, last year I remember watching Bayern Munich asking them to do us a favour, and I enjoyed every minute of that up until the 89th when Drogba decided to score. But we'll see what happens. We've got to rely on Newcastle, who aren't even going to bother. But we'll talk about that later on. Let's get into the Chelsea then. So. All in all, 2-2, you'd have taken that, wouldn't you, at the start of the season?
Yeah, definitely. As I was saying, you know, very nervous about the game. It was one of those games that we didn't want to lose, you know, and they went in. Thought the first few minutes, you know, 5-10 minutes, we looked quite comfortable on the ball. But, you know, to be fair, after that there, it really was Chelsea dominating the game. And, you know, we mentioned it last week. Hopefully they don't play Hazard and Mata and Oscar. And you could just see that difference in quality, Steve.
I mean, they all played, didn't they? They didn't have injury or a sprained ankle between them. They were all absolutely on fire.
They were all there and they played some great football. Went 1-0 up and sort of went, oh, don't believe it. You know, a bit of slack defending at the back post there. 1-0 down, and then all of a sudden, and we'll definitely chat about him over these next two games, but it was Mr. Adebayor. All of a sudden, this guy came to life. Steve, what a goal.
Yeah.
It was an absolute wonder goal. And as he was running with the ball, I was just waiting on him, you know, slipping in the winger or what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, just this fantastic goal, and we went, there you go, this is what this man can do.
Legs everywhere and splaying out wide like a galloping giraffe or something, isn't it?
Yep, first touch was brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, really
actually,
good.
Before that he'd done a couple of, got the first touches, where we're like, whoa, this is a different Adebayor, where the ball was zipping into him, and he was controlling it and laying it off, and it was like, blimey, not seen this from Adebayor.
He was was absolutely superb, and obviously for the equalising goal for us as well. You know, what a flick. What an absolute, you know, it's world class.
Do you know what? Do you know what I said after that? You know, the next day, someone said, "What about Adebayor and all this?" And you think to yourself, "Well, why wouldn't you want to play like that?" You know, if you turn out like he has and played, been really lazy for so many games, you know, and not doing the flicks and not having a go at goal and stuff like that, what's the point of that? I mean, you know, you're in the prime of your career. You know, money is a different issue, but you're in your prime of your career. You're out there on a Saturday, Sunday afternoon or whatever you are, Wednesday night. And why not just enjoy your football and do the flicks and do the fancy stuff? I mean, he's up front. It won't matter if he loses it doing, you know, some tricks and stuff like that. Jermaine Defoe earlier in the season said, you know, they said who's the most skillful player at Spurs. He said Adebayor, hands down. You know, he's got all the tricks, all the skill. Let's see a few. Let's see you being creative and doing some classy things. Surely he must think, you know, oh, I really enjoyed playing tonight. You know, when he got home or wherever he goes.
Yeah.
You know, whereas all the other games, he must have got home and thought, you know, oh, didn't play very well. Maybe he didn't care or whatever. But, you know, surely he must have thought, oh, I really enjoyed that. And you know what? He got a lot of stick at the Stoke game, even though he scored. People saying he didn't do anything. I watched the whole game. I thought he was in the game. I thought he got some good touches. I thought he was laying it off really well. And, you know, he was being a nuisance up front. You know, he didn't get in the box enough and he didn't have enough shots. But, you know, he was being a real good team player. You obviously will move on to Stoke later. But going back to the Chelsea game then. So it was 1-1, half-time. No, Ramirez scored, didn't he, to make it 2-1. Yeah. I thought that was game over.
Yeah. Yes, so did I, you know, and again, it was another great goal. But, you know, to be fair to Spurs, the second half that came out, they battled hard. Chelsea still looked very, very dangerous. But battled away, crying out for a few changes, and Sigurdsson come on. And I thought he was brilliant. Really surprised, actually, he didn't start in the Stoke game. But Sigurdsson come on, looked hungry again, and as we said there, you know, great touch from Adebayor, and what a finish, absolutely brilliant finish from Sigurdsson, and got us in, and then I looked at the clock, and it was the usual, oh no, there's still 10 minutes to go, plus injury time, you know, this is, oh, Chelsea are bound to score, but look, you know, we battled it out, and actually those last 10 minutes, all of a sudden Scott Parker came into the match, and he was bombing down the wings, and we were looking dangerous, and we were the best team for that last 10 minutes plus injury. And I actually thought we were going to nick it, but wasn't to be. But came away, Steve, at the end of that game really quite happy and thought, well, they put in a good shift. You know, can't fault anybody. Everybody tried their best to win the match. And in the end of the day, as you say, good result. You know, you'd have took that away to Chelsea.
That's it. Other players, you know, coming into the frame while Bale is, you know, Bale's sort of playing more as a team player now, not so individually, although, you know, he's still getting these shots away and what have you, but shows you that we're not a one-man team because,
definitely.
You know, these other guys are contributing and they have done all season. And don't forget, up until Christmas, you know, Bale wasn't really on fire. He was playing okay. It was only that sort of, you know, after Christmas up until, well, you know, about 4 months of him being unbelievably outstanding that made people say we're a one-man team. But before Christmas, people weren't saying that. So, you know, we've got a really good side, obviously, you know, as we look forward to, you know, the Stoke game. You know, you can see where, you know, these players are really, trying to play as a team. You know, and we're not just relying on Bale. But again, we lose the first goal. And it's so frustrating.
It is. And it's really weird.
We need to get a T-shirt with that. It's so frustrating.
So frustrating. Yes, someone actually said, put something on Twitter. Was it about something that I say? I can't remember. Yeah, what was it?
Said you should get a T-shirt. It's so frustrating because that's what Colin always says.
I don't care. Do I say that? Didn't realise it, but it is so frustrating. But yeah, definitely. Let's get T-shirts made. I'm happy enough.
By the way, I followed that up with a comment that said, if you're a Spurs fan, you say that in your head every minute of every day. But what happened was it didn't show the initial comment. So when it went on our Facebook page, it just said, when you're a Spurs fan, you say it in your head every minute of every day, which on its own doesn't make any sense. And people were commenting going, yeah, you're right. Yeah. And I was like, hang on a minute. You haven't read the original comment by somebody else, which said, Colin keeps saying it's so frustrating, but yeah, you do. When you're a Spurs fan, in your head, you're constantly going, "Oh, it's so frustrating! It was so frustrating." Uh-oh. Yeah, you're saying I'm a Spurs fan, but you know that wasn't the point I was trying to make.
But you're right, and I'm going to say it now. How frustrating was it? Losing that goal 3 minutes. And that's what I was saying. I was far more nervous, Steve, about the Stoke game than I was about Chelsea.
Well,
and I think
that was the big one, wasn't it, really? The Stoke game was like the result was really the big one.
It was. Because to be honest with you, to me, that was the game that we had to go out, not that we just had to go out and win it to be there. We had to go out and prove something that we could go to Stoke and get a result. And to me, it was massive. It also meant, Chelsea were very, very fortunate against Aston Villa. But it meant that we were getting the 3 points before Arsenal had to play tonight. Now, unfortunately, it hasn't worked out for us. Arsenal went 1-4-1. But, the pressure was on and I was nervous. And that when that goal went in after 3 minutes, I just went, I don't believe this. And another thing that really got me, I know Stoke were celebrating their 150th anniversary or whatever it was, but how up for it were their crowd?
Well,
the noise of
the
intimidation.
The crowd, the players were up for it.
Yeah,
which shows by, the lad getting sent off, shows how much up for it he was. And also, Tony Pulis on the touchline was going crazy. Now, I know, let's not be naive. Stoke have got a notoriously, very passionate crowd. They got notoriously very passionate players who get stuck in. And Tony Pulis on the sidelines, we know that he gets very animated. And I watch a lot of football, and I have not seen that team be that animated. It was almost like, he said to the guys, although we're safe, let's go out like we're fighting for our lives here. Because my goodness, they made it difficult for us, unlike some of these other sides.
Yeah, definitely. Look, the exact words came out of my mouth to my mate Robert about it. I said to him at halftime, I said, see if this was Chelsea or Arsenal or Man United, even Man City, that were away at Stoke, you wouldn't see this passion from a Stoke team. You wouldn't hear the crowd the way they are. I know we always say it, and I don't want to look as if we're repeating ourselves, but it always seems to be against us that these teams are up for. But one thing I will say, how good were the Spurs fans?
Yeah.
They came across very loud. And once that second half started and Charlie Adam got sent off, who a lot of people are trying to say Charlie Adam in that first challenge. Look, he's got history with us, with Gareth Bale. Mm. He's got history with other teams. He was getting in there very, very reckless with his foot up that high. I know he didn't really touch for talking, but that was a yellow card. And he knew what he was doing the next one. And to be fair, the Spurs fans probably helped, to get on his back, and he bit to what the crowd were doing to him, but the Spurs fans were fantastic, and that's all you could hear. And they were definitely, talk about Stoke being the 12th man.
Yeah.
The 12th man on Sunday was the Spurs fans behind that goal, and they sucked the ball in. Brilliant.
When Charlie Adam had a corner, he punched the ball down because he was so angry.
Yeah.
It was like, as a Spurs fan, I feel like saying, you do realise why we're having a go at you, don't you? You do realise why we don't like you. It's because, two seasons ago, you completely took out our best player with a disgraceful tackle, really, really mucked us up for the last, few games of the season. And then you did it again in a pre-season game in America when you were playing for Liverpool. That's why we don't like you, mate. We'll get over it and that's fine. But,
don't expect us to
be your best mate.
I know. Can you believe we nearly signed him? Do you remember that year? Was it January?
Yeah.
It was January a couple of years ago, and it was all the break. It was like 11:30 at night.
Yeah.
And next minute it was Charlie Adam is at White Hart Lane.
Yeah.
And I actually remember, I can't believe it, I was actually quite excited about it. I thought, yeah, this guy could be a good signing for us.
He might have been a good signing for us, but what, you know, that's a different conversation. But the conversation we're having here is about that, you know, why, you know, he's getting angry and stuff about the fact that we're singing about him. We don't like him. Well, that's because you tried to take out Gareth Bale really, really, you know, blatantly, in my opinion. You know, none of this blimmin' dry and Shawcross, you know, just going in hard thing. You know, why on earth, you know, I'm halving back a bit here, but why on earth would you go into Ramsey, you know, some under 21 player really hard to try and break his leg? Well, you wouldn't, would you? That's why he didn't go, you know, purposely to do that. But yeah, you definitely went purposely into Gareth Bale because, you know, he's our best player and you know, that's what you definitely did. And so that was good he got sent off. And, but yeah, I say it every week, and we're going to get a t-shirt with this on it as well. Huffed and puffed, but we did, didn't we? But finally we got we got the win, which I went ballistic at, scared the living bejesus out of my little 3-year-old boy when I was jumping around the front room.
I was the same. But, you know, the round off the first half, another guy that was starting to frustrate me again was Clint Dempsey. You know, and sort of, again, it was like one of those games you wonder what Dempsey does. But as we said on the last show of the show before, he turns up with important goals. And that was a great finish.
Yeah, and he has a few digs as well. He has a few digs.
And he was there and he set up Bayor's goal as well. So, like, no matter what people want to try and have a go at this guy has scored some important goals and set up important goals, and you cannot fault that. It was excellent. But were you getting frustrated, Steve, in the second half when they went down to 10 men? You know, we were just sort of knocking like square balls, you know, Huddlestone passing it out, and it was back and forward. And Stoke were just sitting there, and as you said earlier about Adebayor, there was nobody in the box. And I was screaming at the TV, just get in the box and stay in there where you are. And I was glad to see Defoe come on. And not that he really done anything, but at least he was in the box and he was taking up space.
Yeah.
Which then eventually freed up for Adebayor to come in at the back post. But as you say, I went mad whenever he scored, and it was just, yes, that's it. You know, that's what we wanted. But what did we do after we scored? We sat back. And all of a sudden... We couldn't even put three passes together.
Yeah.
And Stoke nearly got that header at the back post. And I was going, oh, please, just blow this whistle. It was so, so frustrating. But as you say, massive win. And it's taken us through to the end of the season, which is all we could ask for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what football's about, taking it to the last game. You know, we were never, you know, we were hoping that Wigan might do something against Arsenal, but there was no chance of that. You know, Wigan aren't good enough. And, you know, they were brilliant in the cup final because, you know, that's a one-off game and what have you. But, you don't do it twice in a row. There's no way. If they would have done it, it would have been an absolute miracle.
Yeah.
So it comes down to the last game. To be a bit, you know, left wing here, Alan Pardew's comments, could they have actually, might they actually help us here? Because if Arsenal do go there and get the win, won't Alan Pardew get absolutely slaughtered? Do you know what I mean? You know, it'll be like, you know, what the hell's going on here? You said last week that you didn't mind if they lost and all this sort of stuff, and there you go, you've lost, you know. What's going on here? What sort of, you know, football? But hopefully he'll do a Pulis and, you know, sort of say, right, we better blooming well get a draw here. Otherwise, you know, make me look like a fool.
Yeah, well, I think you could be right. I thought of this as well. When I first heard what he had said, I just couldn't believe it. You know, that he came out with these words, and obviously he's realised what he said and he's now backtracked. Where it could hopefully be to our advantage is that he now goes, right, I can't afford. But look, Newcastle have been terrible. Their last two home games, they've got beat by Sunderland and they've got absolutely hammered by Liverpool. There's going to be 52,500 Geordies sitting there on Sunday, and by no means are they going to want to see their team get walked over by Arsenal.
Yeah.
And no matter what, Pardew has to try and get this team up because... he's got to be realistic and say to his squad here, if you just want to be here next season, go out and show us what you're made of, and go out and show those 52,500 supporters that just want to be here and just want to play for this team. And that's what we've got to hope as Spurs fans, is this team talk. The next problem is, we've then got to be up for it. My biggest worry, and the way I'm looking at Sunday, is I don't care. I'm going to try not and worry about it. I'm just going to concentrate on us.
Are you going?
No, I'm not over. But the Spurs boat's coming over. Davey's over.
Yeah.
So I'll do a wee shout out for Davey at the end here. But no, unfortunately, I'm not over. I would love to have been over, but getting to the Arsenal game was my Christmas present, I think. So that's all I wanted this year. So I've had to sacrifice the last game. But you know, come Sunday, we've just got to concentrate. It's going to be crazy there at White Hart Lane. You know yourself, Steve, you can't even get a mobile phone reception in White Hart Lane. I don't know how people are going to keep on top of the Arsenal match. But
we've got to go old school. I've got my little radio. Cool. You have to go old school on that one.
Definitely, mate. But here, we've got to concentrate on ourselves. The crowd has got to be up for it.
Yeah.
You know, even if Arsenal go 1-0 up at St James's Park, we have not got to then go down. We've got to be up for it. And look, I just keep going. It has to happen. You know, please, just for once, let it go our way.
Yeah.
But as you usually say, Steve, it probably won't. But what I just want to say there, no matter what, and I'm trying to get myself in this mindset already, if we don't make it and it just doesn't go our way, what a fantastic season we've had.
Yeah.
You know, everybody slagged the AVB off at the start. Nobody wanted him. The guys come in. We've got a record total of points in the Premier League.
Yeah. There's never been a team that's got more than 68 points and not finished in the top four.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what have we got now? 69?
69.
So we should... No other side has ever, A, finished in the top four and not qualified, like last year.
Yep.
B, got 68 or more and not qualified. So we might do a double record. And the other thing, don't forget, is that because Wigan lost, Sunderland are now safe, and so we're playing a side that's safe. I mean, could you imagine playing against, you know, Sunderland with blimmin', what's his face,
Decanio,
right on the touchline, you know, maybe we winning 1-0. Can you imagine what would happen with him going, you know, say Wigan are winning as well, with him going crazy on the touchline and that? I mean, yeah, it'd be great for the neutral, but not for the Spurs fan, because, you know, you could see what would happen. Sunderland all pushing on, us trying to get on the break, which you know, we haven't really done very well all season. And you know what would happen. So, you know, that's a good thing that Sunderland aren't playing for anything now.
So it'd be
great if we get the result. We'd finish with 72 points, which is what did we get last year? 68?
Oh, I can't remember.
Something like that. No, we couldn't have got. No, we did. Yeah, something like that. But so it'd be brilliant. As we said, I haven't actually got the podcast still on our iTunes page, but. Believe me when I say, at the start of the season when we did our reviews, I said I thought we'd finish fifth, and that would be a good season, because let's think about the fact that, you know, this is our first season, and all the other things that we've said, you know, previously. I'm not going to bore myself, but what a good first season for AVB.
No matter what, yes. Come Sunday, if it doesn't go our way, we're going to be absolutely gutted. But, you know, those supporters that are lucky enough to be there, you know, stay behind, give the team a big shout, That's right, Gemma Stubbles will be on the pitch. You know, give her a massive cheer. You know, like, the thing is, we've got to take it that AVB's first season. Yes, we didn't play. Some of our football, especially at home this year, was not as attractive as what it's been the last couple of years, but
Sorry. I've watched Harry's teams, and we were great Harry fans, and we still are great Harry fans, and we thank Harry. And if ever I meet him, you know, I'm going to say, you know, the last few games is a bit pony, but
yeah,
but all in all, he was fantastic for us, and that's undeniable. It really is. But I watched a load of old rubbish as well. You know, a lot of 1-0s. If you remember, you know, there was a little period of about 5 or 6 home games of 1-0s. I think, you know, where Pavlyuchenko was popping up and getting the goal as well. So we've lost, we didn't, it wasn't all, you know, gung-ho, amazing football under Harry. You know, there was plenty of crummy games as well.
No, I agree with you, but what I'm saying is, you know, there was a difference about us this year. The biggest difference was away from home. We've never won as many games away from home, and that was one thing I'm really delighted about. You know, I actually think we're nearly better away from home. It nearly suits us because we've said it 100 times. These teams now come to White Hart Lane and they just sit there. And White Hart Lane is a small, compact ground, and you know they just sit there and don't even try and play football against us. But this year, away from home, been brilliant. Other big things to remember: Kabul hasn't played all season. Sandro, our most influential player at that stage of the season, hasn't played, you know, more than half a season.
Parker, we never signed the striker.
Parker missed the first half. We still didn't sign the striker or the two strikers that we've been crying out for. Really, probably from the sold Pavlyuchenko. Yeah. We've been crying out, when are these strikers coming in? So, you know, 4 or 5 transfer windows, we still haven't got it.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got to remember it, and we're sitting fifth. We've also got a capacity of 36,500 people.
So
we can't pay the wages that these other teams are doing. And so how good is it that we are where we are?
Yeah, and we played Brad Friedel for the first 10-15 games, didn't we? You know, nothing against him, but Loris is a miles better goalkeeper in terms of what he brings to the team. Friedel, fantastic, safe, great shot stopper, but you know he's got his limitations with regards to coming out. And like I said, the last game he played, he really did look like someone's dad. You know, really, you know, coming out and playing a charity game or something.
Steve, other positives that I think we need to take as well if we don't finish top four. I was listening to Paul Hawksby today from Talk Sport, a guy that I would love to get on our show, and we will try and get Paul on.
Yeah.
But, you know, he mentioned that he was speaking to someone. He said it wasn't Gareth Bale's agent, but it was another agent that he knows. And he says, you know, the talk is that Bale will stay. And the big thing we've got to do about if we don't get top four with Gareth Bale, he is then our top four man who we should be attracting players with.
Yeah,
and we've said it.
We spoke about that, definitely.
Yeah, if we finish fifth, we need to go. Gareth Bale's still here, then we need to go and pick off players.
Right,
like if maybe a Ben Techie and these guys, and say, "Come in, you're going to play with Gareth Bale, Montino. Let's just go and get them."
Right, I've got a scenario for you. You know this Man United thing, okay?
Yeah.
What about this? Right, if Bale says, "Actually, you know, I quite fancy Man U." Right, so you say, okay, let's you know, we'll see what we can do here, right? We have Rooney and RVP. wouldn't that stick it down the arsenal? No, well, that's the deal. No deal or no deal, right? So deal, you can have Bale, but we'll have Rooney and RVP.
Well, I'll give you another crystal ball thing. My young son, Christopher, and he'll be glad that, because he keeps asking me, why haven't you said this, Dad, on the podcast? About 4 or 5 weeks ago, he turned around to me and he says, Dad, I was just thinking, why don't we offer Gareth Bale to Man United and tell him they can have him, but we want 35 million plus Wayne Rooney? And I sort of thought, you know what? That's actually quite a good shout.
Right. Well, it's not too dissimilar to what I'm saying here.
It's not too dissimilar. I just don't, I can't see us getting Van Persie. So, but 30 million, 35 million, and Wayne Rooney here, I'd bite your
hand. All right. I'd say that, but I'll tell you what. I'd rather take Van Persie than 35 million purely for the Arsenal, you know, Twitterverse to explode. The other interesting question, right? Just before we wrap up. Because we're going to just do a short show tonight, you know, because we've got, you know, you don't want to listen to all these podcasts banging on about what's going to happen, because, you know, it's too much. It's all too much. Here's another one for you. So Real Madrid presumably looking for a new manager. You know, that's going to happen, isn't it? Mourinho to Chelsea or Mourinho to Man City. You don't know. What about this, right? What if AVB goes? Okay. So what if Real Madrid want him or he goes, whatever, right? Benitez at Chelsea, okay, in my opinion, has been absolutely fantastic. Think about the pressure that AVB's under, right? Times that by a million, in my opinion. For the fact, I should stop saying in my opinion, because I hate people who say that, because it's always your opinion whenever you say it, right? But Benitez has done so fantastically at that club that fans absolutely hate him. He's gone to a European final. He's gone to third in the league, right? Unbelievable, isn't it? And the home fans still sing Fat Spanish Waiter. And it's just absolutely ridiculous for what that bloke's done for that club.
Well, whenever Redknapp was gone, Benitez was one of the names that I think I might have put out there.
Yeah, and we all said, no way. I'd have said no way. But now, looking at what he's done with that club, my goodness. Anyway, I'm just putting it out there just in case it happens. I want to be a little bit ahead of the game, right? One other player. Can I just say one more player?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Frank Lampard. My goodness. That bloke continues to get in the box and score goals. He scored the last minute goal at Aston Villa by getting in midfield, laying it off, coming back in, laying it off again out wide. Then he ran in the box and he tapped it in for the winner in the last minute of the game. I mean, imagine if Tom Huddleston decided to start doing that. Wouldn't it be fantastic?
That's
a midfield player breaking into the box in the last minute of the game to score the winner, which Frank Lampard seems to do every blimmin' game.
I agree. Look, I know it's a Spurs podcast. Shouldn't be giving a Chelsea man a shout-out, but like, well, fair play to the guy.
That's all right, Chelsea. You know, all I'm saying is, you know, I'm trying to get ahead of the game with transfers coming up, which no doubt we'll be talking about in 2 weeks' time. I'm just saying a couple there.
It's going to be interesting. Another thing I thought about as well, going back to Mr. Pardew. See if they roll over. The best thing that we can do is go to Newcastle and take some of their best players. We've said it before. I love this guy, Kabay.
Hang on a minute. Wouldn't you rather have Chelsea's best players rather than Newcastle's best players?
Agreed, but here, let's just go in and upset them. You know, Mr. Pardew, wee bit of payback. You know, we'll take Kabay and maybe Cisse. I would have said Krull, the goalkeeper, last season, but not this year. And we've got a world-class goalkeeper now. You know, wee things like that. I think that's where... And this guy, Benteke, Steve, I know we're going into transfers already. That guy has been outstanding this year.
Yeah.
And I, for one, definitely want that guy. I think he would be fantastic at Spurs. He's been superb in a very, very poor Aston Villa team. And again, then we can use Gareth Bale to get a couple of world-class players in alongside them, because we do need to do it. And... You know, it isn't going to be the end of the world, guys, if it doesn't go our way on Sunday. It more than likely is not going to go our way on Sunday. Yeah. We know it just is never for us, but I just pray once, you know, that it goes our way, mate.
The funny thing is, that draw at Chelsea now could prove to be, you know, we said that Stoke was the key game. But that result at Chelsea, because if we'd have lost that, which we were looking like doing, then that would have been the fact that Arsenal were 2 points ahead, and therefore a win for us and a draw for them would have been them through. Well, the great thing is there's only 1 point in it. Okay, so a win for us at Sunderland, against Sunderland, right? They've got to beat Newcastle, you know, up there with a crummy old team, which they've definitely got. You know, they've got an all right team, but, you know, they you can definitely get at them without a doubt.
Would you want to be going to St. James's Park this weekend and you had to get a win?
Yeah, no. Or play Sunderland at home. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's just hope we can do it.
Let's just hope we can do it. And sorry, I'll give another shout out, Steve. Just say earlier on, the Spurs poet Davey is coming over on. He's actually coming over on Saturday. He's playing in the tribute match for John White, Rob White's father.
That's right.
So he'll be there. We'll give out the details last show. I think there's been a few posts up on the Facebook page. So guys, if you can get over there, you know, try and meet up there with Davey. Give him a shout. Tell him you listen to the Hot Spurs podcast. And Davey will be there. He'll be in the Bell and Her. He'll be in the Bell and Nick. And guys, go and give him a shout. I'm sure he'll meet up with yourself, Steve.
I'll be with him. Have
a few beers. And yeah. I know for one thing, if it goes our way, there will be some party.
Yeah. But if it doesn't, I'm not doing anything on Thursday nights next year, are you?
No, definitely not.
I'll be watching Champions League Tuesday, Champions League Wednesday, and Spurs on a Thursday. Happy days.
Happy days.
Football all week.
I never say this. We've got to keep the faith. It's going to happen, guys. Come on. Let's do it. We've got right down there. How good would it be to see those scum fans crying at St. James's Park? Yeah.
Let's have a prediction. Come on.
From Newcastle.
Let's have a prediction. We say we never do predictions, or do we? Or we never say that we don't ever never do predictions. How about that?
Okay. Yep.
I don't know what that means. Right. Let's do it.
We're going to change our luck by this here.
Right.
I'm going to go. Oh, I had a dream.
Go on.
That was on my. Did you not see my post on Facebook? Here. On Facebook, I had a dream that we beat Stoke,
right,
and we beat Sunderland, and that Newcastle beat Arsenal 2-1.
Right.
I put it on Facebook last week, so my prediction.
Did you have to change your pajama bottoms after that?
I can't remember.
What? I can ask you why.
I had no pajamas on. But I believe two one to Newcastle. And Spurs to win 3-1 Spurs.
Right, so imagine if that's the score, okay, with half an hour to go. White Hart Lane will be jumping. Okay, I'll tell you exactly how it's going to go, right? We might score, okay, first half. Arsenal will definitely score, okay? So that's how it's going to go. Then Newcastle will equalise. Okay, White Hart Lane, it will all go round, everyone jumping up and down. 10 minutes to go, Arsenal will score again. And then it's all flat again. We'll see out the 1-0. We'll see that out. Yeah, that'll be fine. Because both sides will be, Sunderland won't really go for it. You know, we'll be 1-0 up, we won't really go for it, we'll be happy with that. We'll see that out. And that blimmin' crummy old Arsenal team are gonna do that. And then, in the last minute, Caballé, one of their French dudes, is going to stick one in because Pardew is going to realise, if I lose this game, I'm going to look an absolute idiot for what I said last week.
Right. Is Mike Isley not a Spurs fan?
Exactly. He's a massive Spurs fan, right?
Massive Spurs fan as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what.
There you go.
And Pardew's a former Intertoto Spurs legend as well, so you owe us one.
Owe us one, big style. And see if they don't do it, we're going to torture him. Yeah. And also I put out there as well on Facebook or Twitter, see this goalkeeper from Arsenal, Chesney. I see that he might be getting replaced by Sunderland's goalkeeper.
Yeah.
I read that there today. But here, guys, and we'll put it out in the next show, if we do it, if we finish above the scum, we're getting this guy's Twitter address, and we are going to torture this guy all summer, and I cannot wait.
Fingers crossed, everything crossed. You know, let's go for it. You know, let's just have a great day on Sunday. Whatever happens, it's been a brilliant season. We're going to carry on doing shows, you know, for as long as we want to, as long as we can. You know, we're not doing anything up until August, when even then I take my mic on holiday and, you know, we'll still do shows from there. So, you know, look, we're going to carry on doing this. Again, if you know anybody, you know, that's in the media or used to play for Spurs or, you know, does something interesting, you know, we always like to have them on the show. And And if you've been on the show previously, you know, get in touch with us, Wyatt and Daniel Wynn and people like that. Come and, you know, send us a little tweet, Jim Howick, that you fancy being on again. I mean, I you know, I do send out the tweets to various people if they want to be on. But, you know, we've all got jobs to do, haven't we, Carl? And apparently that's you've right. been mucking about with Sky News or something, sending them tweets and getting it. mucking them up. Anyway, mate, right, come on, you Spurs. Right, we're gonna win, and Toon are gonna nick a draw, and then we can look back on everything and say, what a wonderful world.
It's gonna be a wonder show next week. I can just feel it. I know what's gonna happen.
Come on.
And we'll if it is, we'll do a two-parter. You know, we'll throw the boat out and put it up then, Arthur. Come on, Spurs. Come on.
All right. For one final time, just before we play our last game, come on, you Spurs.
Come on. Come on, you Spurs.